You know, he had a lot of cattle, big ranch. And he bought a part of that. They built little cabins for those ranchers to live in. He bought that one part and moved it over where his land was when he bought the farm. He bought 80 acres. And then he built a kitchen on the one side.
A lean-to.
A lean-to. And we lived there until after, I was a little tiny girl when he had an uncle and a friend build a bigger house for us, a two-story.
And both your father and mother came from Sweden?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember from where in Sweden?
Got it. I've got.
So, there was your grandparents now. They came from Kjellberg in Södra Vånga. And then Carl Gottfried Johansson, that was your father.
That was father. Mm-hmm.
He was born in Kjellingaryd in Sweden,
mm-hmm.
and came 1869. Mm-hmm. So he came 1 year after your mother.
Over here, yes.
No. So, and they had no connection with each other in Sweden before they left. They didn't know about each other at all.
I have it written in here about how they met.
How they met, yeah. And your father, he came to, was it a Yankee family?
Heard yesterday about my father from a letter from my sister that he ran away from home, you know.
Well, he did?
Uh-huh, because of service. And he got to a boat where they were taking mostly that kind of boys over here to America. He knew it was going to America and he wanted to get on. And he got on and got along with himself on the boat. And then when he got to the goal, you know, to America, then they took those boys and sent them here and there and everywhere, and he didn't know anything where he was going. And he landed in Wisconsin with some of these people that took those boys. And he stayed there about 4 or 5 years. And then he worked his way gradually down toward Cleburne. He had an uncle that lived in Cleburne that he knew.
It was Ephraimson.
That's right, yeah. And he was the one that got him started then on getting a work, working on a farm, learn the language, and go to the Moriah Law Church.
I see. Mm-hmm. So he worked his way all the way from Wisconsin?
I didn't know that before.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
My sister wrote to me.
So, and then your mother, she was younger than than your
father. They were 9 years, I believe, apart.
So she came as a young girl here with her.
She came with her grandma and grandpa. They were a family. They had three children when they came over from Sweden. And they came to first to Rockford and got somehow to Cleburne, Kansas. And they found somebody of the older people helped them find a place to buy. And they bought 80 acres of land. It was about 6 miles from Mariadal Church and about 6 or 7 miles from that little town of Cleburne. So they wanted to settle there.
And that's in Pottawatomie
County, Kansas. Cleburne, Kansas would be the what they would call it.
So they were not satisfied then to stay in Rockford, for instance, to work in factories, and they were looking for land.
Uh-huh. I think they had an old friend that had gone there and written and told them how good farms were and how much the money they could make and they could buy land and that. And that urged them on to go on to that place.
Do you know if they had some other people with them from the same neighborhood in Sweden that went down with them to Kansas, or were they the only family?
I think they were alone.
Like in Oldsburg and Cleburne and Mariadal, were there several families from the same area in Sweden?
Well, there were, but I'm not sure Papa or Mama and her family were with them, but they soon got together, you know, got acquainted like they did in those days.
I mean, do you remember when you were growing up that they had uncles and cousins that came to visit them?
We were there all the time. When I was just a little girl, you see. And we'd go there for Christmas once in a while, and a Sunday dinner. And one time we stayed over Christmas Eve and stayed and went to Ulota at Mariadal Church.
Yes.
And I suppose rode in a big sled or something. That is in my memory.
So there were other relations then to your family in Kansas that came for visit. Do you remember
These Ephraimsons and Cleburne.
Yeah, there was an uncle, a murbror.
But that
was a brother to you.
That was Papa's side, Ephraimson. Papa's side. And I don't know, but what, there was some relationship between faraway marriages that they knew them in Sweden.
Mm-hmm. So, let me get this straight now. So, John and Kajsa Nelson, they came in 1868 and 69. They were your parents, or your grandparents?
Grandparents.
Your grandparents. And your father now?
Carl Gottfried.
Yeah.
How many wrote that in a hurry last night?
He was born 1849 in Bjurbeck, in Västergötland. Mm-hmm. And then he moved when he was 1 year old to Sörudden, Kjellingared, is the parish, yeah, in Västergötland. And he came to the United States what year?
I have it in the book here, but I don't think I can tell you without looking.
So like your grandparents now, John and Kajsa Nelson, did you call them Morfar and Mormor when you were growing up?
I think we did, Morfar and Mormor. Way, way back. Then we started calling Grandma and Grandpa.
So they were always Swedish spoken in your home then when you were growing up, a little girl. Or do you remember?
When I was little, it was. But pretty soon, the girls bigger girls started going to school. And that brought the language home. So then we switched gradually from Swedish to English. But I was confirmed in Swedish in the last confirmation class in Holzberg, Kansas. And that was in 19, about 15 or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So your parents, did they switch over to English also then? Or did they talk Swedish and you talk English to them? And
That went on a while. Some of that went on a while. Yeah, it did. They'd like to talk Swedish and we would come home with that English.
Did they insist that you should talk Swedish? You didn't forget that?
They weren't cross about it.
No?
It just kind of gradually came. Uh-huh. And of course, they got the English in school, but we always went to Swedish Sunday school. Always.
So you had no... You had no problems then with either English or
not
Swedish?
Not with the parents.
So you were
two
languages
compatible. Yeah.
Growing up.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That went on. And there were some from Valitz, Kansas. That's another little town around there. And there was quite a few of my relation up in there, cousins and so forth. And they used to drive that long way, 30 miles or so with horse and buggy and come to see us.
Did they live with you, their grandparents, at any time? So did you grow up with the grandma, Mormor, and Morfar, or
live with us?
In other words, did they live with you when your mother married?
No.
They didn't.
But when Mom and Papa married, they got a little place and went right there, and from then on we were together as a family. You know?
And Morfar and Mormor, they lived for themselves.
Yeah, they had some children at home. No, we never lived together, but we did a lot of visiting together.
You had very how far away was the?
About 8 miles.
8 miles. Mm-hmm. So you had to use the horse and buggy then to see them. You couldn't
always. We spring wagon when we all went.
Mm-hmm. And in the winter time, it was cold. You couldn't visit.
We finally got a carriage, but that was so close to the time we quit that it didn't serve us very long. But I can see us yet sitting, we were four children, mother and father, in a spring wagon going to Ulota on Christmas morning, get up about 3:30 and drive that long way. It was 5 miles from the little home where we had up to the church at Osberg.
So then your mother and father, they met. How did they meet now? They in the church or?
When he went to work, finally got a pretty good job, Papa, at a man by the name of Shehi, and he was a real wealthy man that came over from Sweden and could do big things.
Well, he was a Swede also?
No.
He was just a
Yankee
American,
or something. Yankee. And he'd come, and he had a lot of money, and he'd bought a big tract of those land, many acres of that prairie land and was working it, doing things with it. And so he got a hold of Papa, and Papa went there and worked for him. And this is what we assume that, well, we know that's where he learned the English language. And then the closest church they could go to any place, and Papa wanted to go to church, was the Marital Church. And that would be maybe 10 miles or more to get there, but he went. And then Mama was always at church, that's where we assume that they met and fell in love and decided to get married. And so they both stayed around that area until they decided to get married, and they were married at the old, at the Mariah Doll Church. And from then on, they bought a small piece of land close by Mama, Grandma and Grandpa. But they didn't stay there long. They had a fire. The house was burned. Then he got a hold of this 80 acres up by Olsburg, and he bought that. And that's where we lived until we moved to Olsburg, Kansas.
How much did you have to pay for that 80 acres? Was it hard to get the money or loan?
I think I've got the deed in here.
Uh-huh. So he could get the loan then?
Yeah. We got the signatures and that we got
through on. Through a local bank?
There wasn't a bank in Olsburg then. They had to go to Westmoreland, the county seat, to do that business.
Oh. But it was not hard for him to get the down payment?
No, he got of that relation maybe to sign for him.
And that 80 acres of land, was that tillable, all of it, or was it grazing land?
Part of it was tillable. They had used some of it, but there was a lot that was waste. Pasture, he used it for pasture, and there was a stream of water running way down by the barn, so he could water his cattle down there for a while.
Blue River didn't go up there?
No, that's
just far away.
Away.
Mm-hmm. So, but this land, no, it was not ready for planting grain on. Was there wild prairie, or had somebody else?
There had been part of it used for field, but most of it was just plain prairie land, and he picked out the best and made it more fields.
So there was good fertile land then?
Well, it was prairie land. It wasn't very, very good, but we got along with what he got, you know. It wasn't real
shallow topsoil, or
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the summers they can be pretty dry then if it's.
We had hard years too.
Mm-hmm.
But Mama grew her garden the best she could, you know, and he worked there, and we children helped us as we grew up, you know, and we got along.
So, with this 80 acres of land, any buildings on it? Or did he have to?
He had to do all the buildings. There was this little house I told you he moved over.
Yeah.
And then down, there was quite a hill, quite a ways from the house, and there he built his barns on a, here's the soil. And then there was a hill that went down, and he built his barns there. And so if there was a window here, you could see down in the barn where the horses were standing. But the barn was a lower level, and you could go right in from there.
And there was no problem to get water? You said there was a creek?
There was a creek there.
Even in the summer it was...
We had water, but he...
Drinking water.
Yeah.
Only for the cattle, though. You couldn't use the
water. All right. And then going up another hill from the barn, and it was uphill from there, there was a bank, and it was full of rocks, just big stones, you know. And there was what they called a spring. And there was still a spring there when we left that place.
And it was good for drinking?
And Papa took a big wooden box like they used to have in grocery stores and dug it down in there and piped the water from where that water was coming into that box, and then it went out. So we had cool fresh water all the time. And there we kept our cream and our milk and our butter until later on he dug a well up by the house.
So there was like a storage at the same time then. And they kept cool also in the hot summer.
Hot summer, I can see Papa yet going down there getting milk and cream and things, yeah.
How far away was there from the house? About 300-400 yards?
Well, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it wasn't too far, but it was kind of up a hill when he came back.
And I suppose later on, when you got big enough,
We had to do the running.
So you knew that path.
And there was that stream was still going by there. That wasn't helping our spring water, because the spring water came. And there we used to puddle around in the water and play around when we were little.
Mm-hmm. And in the real early time when your mother was newly married, she saw some Indians.
Yeah. Mother was a cripple, you know.
She had this accident, or was it?
She went to Manhattan to work, and she got rheumatism in one leg, and it never recovered, so they sent for us, for Grandpa to come and get her. She was in Manhattan, which was about 20, 25 miles away, and he went in a lumber wagon to get her. And she got home, and I suppose they doctored her with probably sending for medicine and that, you know how they did in those days. And she got better and worked with it until she got so she could walk nicely, and she even learned to ride horseback. Uh-huh. Now where we were going from there.
Could she walk or ride with a cane or with
she help? She didn't use a cane until she got older. She just limped. But she,
when you know, she was younger.
Uh-huh, yeah. So she got along, and she used to work for these people, do housework, and that wasn't easy, you know.
But now the Indians.
I'll tell you, it's in here.
Yeah.
She was the oldest of those eight children. Yeah, she wasn't the oldest. There was two boys before her, but she was the oldest girl. So you know how it was in those days. At an early age, they had to start helping wash dishes and make butter and things like that. And one time, Grandma and Grandpa had left her in charge of the children, and they had a table. Here was a window, and they had a table here by the window. And she had cooked roasting ears from the farm and had a big platter of roasting ears standing on the table, and the children were sitting around, were going to eat them. All right, here comes two Indians, two horses and two Indians. And rode up to that glass window, opened the window, and just took all the corn from there and rode away. So the children were left without any dinner, but the Indians were eating the corn. But they never did any danger. There was Indians around there. They'd seen Mother time.
But they had no trouble or problems?
No, they never had any.
They never brought back anything, the Indians, to them, like venison meat and deer meat and stuff like that, to the family. They never told you about that. There was an exchange of food.
I wouldn't know that. There maybe was, because if they had anything, they would exchange, I'm sure.
But they were on friendly
terms. Yeah, yeah,
they, with them, right?
Yeah. Those Indians were not dangerous.
Before she was married, she was a postmistress in Mariadal. That was before she was
married.
That
was when she was working down there with the pastor's families.
I see. So she worked with the pastors then.
And then
how did she get that job? She had to go to school for it, or?
No, I guess they felt sorry for her because she was a cripple. I don't know. She limped, you know, and she worked, but they knew she worked hard, I guess. And I don't know how she got it. She needed money, I imagine. That's why she found it. But I guess the pastor's families had to see that in her, so they asked her. That I can't tell you.
Mm-hmm. So,
but the post office job, it was in a little building, a little up above the church. And I have a picture of it here. You saw that, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. In Mariadal.
And it went upstairs. You had to go upstairs. And I've heard other girls that knew long ago that said it wasn't a very nice room. It didn't look like post office, but they had all the official things there.
Mm-hmm. But all the mail from Sweden and all over, they came to that place. And
mm-hmm. And I guess they called it Mariadal then. They wrote there because Cleburne was 8 miles away, you know.
So there was a separate post office then?
I think at the time there was a Mariadal post office.
And that name, Mariadal, they came from Mrs. Johnson, wasn't
Marie
it?
Marie Johnson came
Marie
over
Johnson.
As a widow, and two of her sons were already there, had tried it. And they sent for Mama, and she came, but she didn't live long. And then she had to be buried, so they put up the name Mariadal, Mariadal. A doll, you know what that means,
yes.
Valley.
Valley.
Mariadal. So it's been there. Now it's gone.
Now it's all gone because of Turtle Creek Dam.
It's up in Oldsburg.
And that's on Blue River, though.
The Mariadal, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could see the river.
The river.
They had a bridge across there.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember that Blue River as a dangerous flow of water?
Yeah.
When you were growing up?
We lived on the prairie and I was scared to death of water.
So there was too wide to cross, you had to have...
Oh, goodness, they had to go to Cleburne. That was one of the thrills I got in childhood, to go to Cleburne, because I'd get to ride on that big bridge across the Blue River.
Mm-hmm. It was a wooden bridge?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there was a experience in young days. So how about going to Cleburne? Your father probably didn't have time all the time. Did your mother drive a horse and buggy herself when she went to the store, for instance, or wanted to have something?
No, I don't think so. She maybe drove, but sometimes one of the bigger girls would go along. We had a cart, two-wheeled cart.
Yes.
And I don't know if they ever drove that to Cleburne or not.
I see. Uh-huh.
No, Papa usually went with her, I think.
Because it was too far a distance, though.
Yeah, it was about, from our farm, it was 8-10 miles.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Over the prairies, and you'd open gates, and, you know, where there's...
That's right, you had to open all the gates.
Yeah.
Otherwise you get the farmers on your back.
And one time my uncle, oldest uncle, was there. He traveled a lot, he didn't farm, but he was home for Christmas. And he came to our place to stay just over for Christmas, a couple days. And on a Christmas day, we had been to Ulota, all of the family, but he didn't want to go. And he was home there, and we'd had our dinner, I think. And he went outdoors. It was a lovely Christmas day in weather, and it was still and everything. And he went and set fire to some long grass that Papa had left along a fence. And that fire spread and started to get into our cornfield. So Mama had to, they had to hitch two horses for her to a buggy. And she got in that buggy and rode 2.5 miles to the neighbors to get help. We did what we could there, but it finally stilled down, so nothing drastic. We were afraid it would take our corn.
Mm-hmm. So fire was
very bad fire. And you see those prairies, the wind just blows terrible. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of tall grass, I suppose, in the ditches and all over.
Yeah, that's what he left. You see, he left this along the along the fences, and that's what he meant well. He was going to do something good, you see. Mm-hmm.
So he, in your home now, you were all girls?
Just four girls.
Four girls. And how were they helping out now, the people, the young people like your sister Lily, Laura, and Ellen? They were older than you. Three oldest.
Lily was the oldest.
Yeah, and then Laura.
And then Laura and Ellen and me.
How, did they have any special chores to do? Your mother told them to peel the potatoes and
fire
in there
and
stove and
fix
so forth.
The fire and go and get cobs to put in the stove and things. Yeah, we all had our special, and fill the wood box. It's another job we had. Papa would have wood chopped outside. We'd go in and fill it.
So your mother, after a while, didn't have to tell you anything what to do then? You know exactly?
No, we really didn't. She told us, you know, what things to do, but she never had to have her give us a certain job. And the oldest, and to tell the truth, she, as soon as she was able, and we did it, all of us would get out and help Papa with chores and things. Papa wasn't so awfully well. After a few years, he got a heart condition. And so that was one of our jobs.
So both inside and out then?
Well, yeah. What we could do outside, we did. And then we'd do what we could inside. Lily was the first one to help outside. And she wasn't much for school. She finished her sixth grade, so it's all they had there in Richland School where we went. But she finished that. And then she stayed home a lot. And then the folks were hard up, and she went to Manhattan and worked for bigger wages. And sometimes sent home money home if she couldn't get. She only was paid about $6 a week at that time at a home in there. Mm-hmm. And so they used that to fix a well, dig a well and things. Uh-huh. And then Laura came along, and she was, she liked books better. She was a better student. And so she finished her eighth grade in some other school. She finished her eighth grade, and right then she went from teaching. to teach school for about $35 a month.
So she didn't go to any college or preparatory school or anything? Mm.
And Ellen was, she didn't either care for books so much, so she liked to do housework and things like that. She would hire out when we didn't need her at home, then she would hire out and help in housework and things. Later on, she liked sewing and quilting and things like that. But Laura liked her schools.
So how old were you now when you started to help out? Did you try all kind of chores around the house?
Or? Well, I think I just did it gradually. I could go and get a pail of cobs, or I could go and get a few chunks of wood in there. I imagine about six or seven or something like that. And then gradually I worked myself in. When I could help Papa with something, I used to go and get the cattle in the pasture and bring them home. That I did many times. I did that at the old Nelson farm. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned here getting the cobs out in the uh-huh. yard then from the pigs?
I think we maybe had a little shed for the cobs. I don't know. That was up closer to the house.
Oh, I see. I thought you picked them in the pig.
If there was any there to
be. It was dry.
Yeah, then any that were clean and dry.
And they were used for
fuel. Fuel.
So there was one of the staples for the stove then, so to speak, mixed with wood then, or how did you do it? Do you use only corn cobs for heating?
No, he had wood too. He had wood.
Mix it up then.
Yeah. Cobs would be easier to start and then put the wood on top of that. That's the way that it.
And the cobs, they also burn a little bit slower, didn't they? Or did they flame up fast? Or
no, they're just easier to start underneath and then put the wood on top. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was one of your jobs.
Well,
you know how to pick them and
yes.
So your mother and father didn't have to tell you what to do then in the morning. Mm-hmm. You knew exactly at about that time they needed something.
Yeah. And you know that we had 3 miles to walk to school.
3 miles?
3 miles. And you start school at 8:30 and go back to where you have to start from a place and get there by at nine maybe we started. You got to start early in the mornings.
But was that the shortcut then, 3 miles, or was there a way around?
That was a long way.
Long way, but you could take a shortcut in the summer.
Yeah, that made it about 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how we made it, I don't know.
And then you carried lunch to school?
We carried it, yeah. Mama had a lunch for us, too.
You had a little box then, or what kind of container?
The one I remember most was a little tin pail, or galvanized or something, and then a little wire handle across, and a little cover on top. That's what I remember.
And there was a sandwich then?
Sandwiches, and she'd have a cake or cookies or something, maybe some fruit, not always fruit, maybe.
And what did you have to drink?
I think we just drank water. I think sometimes we had milk, but I think lots of times we had water at the school, see.
Because the summertime it was impossible to bring milk,
yeah,
it was too hot then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you always had water in the school, inside the school room?
We had the pump outside, and sometimes the big boys would have to go out and get a pail of water. And then we had a dipper
in
the schoolhouse,
and
everybody else.
Yeah. How long did they continue with that use? I mean, nobody got sick actually.
I guess not.
It worked out fine.
Well, I had a pail in my school. I taught school 1 year in the country, and I had that.
Mm-hmm.
We had separate drinking cups, so they used their own cups.
Do you remember when people got sick now, like when you went to school? What did happen then? You have to cure yourself at home, or did you go to the doctor, or send for a doctor, or do you remember any kind of occurrence?
I think some families depended on what they called patent medicine. You've heard that before?
So they read in the Swedish-American papers?
Yeah.
Curico?
Yeah. And some kind of liniment they always had to have. And they depended on that as long as they could. And when it got too bad, then they either put them in the buggy and took them to the doctor, usually. It wasn't many doctor calls in those days, I don't think.
But there were people that didn't use any liniment or pills or anything, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose they were different kinds.
And they survived too.
Yeah.
So, I asked about the Swedish-American paper. Did you have a Swedish-American paper in your home?
I don't think we did the first, but one of our neighbors brought us Hemlandet.
Hemlandet.
Mm-hmm. And when we went to Grandpa's house, they would maybe save up some papers, and we took that. I can't remember when we first got a paper, but it was a while. Just couldn't afford it, I suppose.
But could you read Hemlandet? Do you remember being able to read?
Oh, I think so. But I think by the time I got in school and that, I wasn't too awfully interested in reading the Swedish, although I studied my catechism and read the Bible on Swedish. But then they would read it, and then they would tell me about some of the things that were happening.
Mm-hmm. So when the time you went to school then, did you read any dailies or American newspapers then? Do you remember they show you in school, or read some news, or talk about news, the teacher did?
Yeah, I think the teacher gave us a little review sometimes.
So, did you attend the church regularly every Sunday?
Always.
The whole family?
We all went to church. That was one of the things to look forward to when one Sunday was over, to get ready so we could go to church Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Was there any meeting after the service for instance, Luther League, Ladies' Aid, Kvinnoföreningen, Syföreningen? Or did they meet during the week?
Way, way back, there was, I think, a meeting of the ladies, Syförening.
Yes, after the service.
After the service. But that was when I was very small, because I don't remember much of that. But I know that they did have it a few times. And they would have a potluck dinner at church. And I remember the first one I went to. They had a table outside of church, and everybody brought something. And we all went around. And that was a real experience for me. You know, I was a little girl, and I thought that was big.
Could they do that also in the hot summer months?
Yeah, they had trees. Yeah, they had trees, big trees by the church.
Mm-hmm. So there you all get together.
They all get all. Mm-hmm.
And then they talked about the latest news.
Yeah, they did. And then they had those poor horses had stood out there all that time. And they had them out there. In the wintertime, they covered them with blankets.
Mm-hmm. So they had to wait then for the
for us to go home and then drive 5 miles home, you know.
So if I ask a horse, they will know how long the service was.
Well, I don't know how they fixed the time. I don't know.
But there was a time then when everybody got together and
that they were sociable. And they found out the news from the farmers.
Oh, and you young people, did you play then with other church members?
We did some, yeah. We played around in the yard with some of the others. So.
How about your home now? Did you live far from the neighbors, or could you?
Yeah, these Swedish apple roots, they were on one side of us, and there was another family there on the other side that were Lutherans and women. But on the other side of us, we had, I call them Yankees. That doesn't sound like a good name, but that's what they call themselves. They were English people and had come over, and one of them had a huge apple orchard. We could go there and pick apples whenever we wanted to. And another had something else, and they'd give us what they had, didn't need.
They were friendly people then.
They were friendly. And we had peaches that we threw away, and we shared it with them.
So those people now, the Americans or Yankees, what did they do different than the Swedes? Did you compare anything that they had? You said they had orchard and apples. Did the Swedish people planted orchards in their yard also when they came to Kansas?
Oh yes, Papa had a big orchard.
Apples and
peaches. We had peaches to throw away.
Oh,
and so those apple roots, the others, they had nice orchards, beautiful orchards. And if they had more than we would share it, see.
Mm-hmm. So what did he get those apple trees from the neighbor then, or how did he plant them? Did he buy those apple trees from a nursery, or how did he get them?
I have a hunch they would maybe send by mail. They did a lot by mail that way, but they didn't do. Or they might have been a nursery man come around. They did that a lot those days. A man would come around.
Traveling along.
Uh-huh. And doctors came around every so often. They had special times. Sometimes they would come around.
Well, without a call?
Uh-huh. Without a call to see if there was any. Yeah. And then they wanted to sell their liniment or something too, you see.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And those doctors, you could depend on them?
I guess so. You know about my whooping cough story.
No? You better tell that one.
Yeah. When I was an infant, I was born in September, and that wasn't a real cold winter time. But somehow I started having whooping cough. And there was a Swedish man that lived close, and he knew about it. I don't know if he's a lone man or what. And he said, you bring the baby up to the door, bring a horse there and let that from the barn, and let that horse breathe on the baby's face, and it will be cured. And the folks were scared, you know. They were frightened for me having a whooping cough at such an early age. And so they tried it, and it didn't work. I still had whooping cough. And then the mama and papa in here put me in a spring wagon. They didn't have any top covers in, and took me up to Oldsburg, which was 5 miles, and took me to the parsonage. It was on a, I don't know if it was, wasn't on a Sunday anyway. And they went to the parsonage, that stand house still stands in Oldsburg. And Johansson was the name of the pastor that was pastor, and he baptized me with mom and pop, and they probably called in some neighbors for witness, I don't know.
Because they thought you were already gone then, in other words.
No, I was still breathing. But they wanted me to get over that whooping cough. They saw me cough and thought I was going to die.
So you were in bad shape then, in other words.
Yeah, I was, yeah. Or they wouldn't have done that. They would have taken me to church then on a Sunday, but they didn't wait for Sunday to come.
Mm-hmm. So what did happen?
He baptized me, and as I said here, he gave me the water and the word and faith, and that has kept me all my life.
No doctor at that time.
No more horses.
No more horses either. So those doctors that came around, and they took care of symptoms. Did they recommend certain things?
Yeah, they would have certain liniment would be good for this, and certain would be good for that. And then some had books too, you know, they sold books that they thought would help for medication. But in little books that would tell you what to take for this and that. And that was, I don't remember using them much, but I do remember sometimes peddlers came.
Hälsolära.
Well, that's a good name. Mm-hmm. Very good Swedish name.
So how about pills now? They was not used too much at that time, you know, headache pills and pills for everything like they have today. They was mostly in liquid at that time, medicines.
Yeah.
Something for the cough.
I guess so. I don't remember when the pills came. I remember we used to take aspirin a long time ago, that was, of course. But I remember the old liniment bottles, and they were big ones, and they put it on wherever they had a sore spot.
There was like a muscle ache then? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
So people were, do you think they had more back aches and muscle aches in those days and compared to
Well, they worked awfully hard, you know. Some of those laborers really worked hard. Maybe that made a difference, I don't know. Oh, I think we know more about our troubles now. We make more over them than we did those days. They rubbed that liniment on and thought it should be better and maybe got better. I don't know.
Well, how about you now? You said that you also worked out in the field with your dad. You helped him and so on. Did you shock any wheat, for instance, or along with the threshing crew?
I remember the biggest thing, I guess I remember, we had one of those big rakes, and you know, I don't know if you know, and there was two horses hitched to that one. And I did help one time run that rake a little bit.
Well, you didn't use any hand work, for instance?
No, I don't. No, maybe just clean off someplace.
Piling up hay,
no.
And hauling in hay. How about your other sisters? They had
to help. I can see them yet on a haystack. You know, they'd start these haystacks and they'd keep going up, and they helped Papa what they could.
So you were younger then. That was your luck. You were behind a little bit, so they took care of you.
Yeah, yeah, that helped. Mm-hmm.
So you could watch them. So you didn't need any liniment then, in other words, when you were growing up?
No, if I'd had a sore spot, I suppose they would have put some on it. I don't know.
But you remember your sisters used it for elbows and knees?
Well, that was usually the thing we put on. I remember one time my sister, young, next to me, older, she had what happened to her? You know what Kansas jiggers are?
Yes.
Okay. And something had bit her under the knee one night. She was up getting ready for bed and she was scared to death. And there was something else that bit her, than a spider or something got it. And she just frightened to death. So I remember Mother going getting some of that liniment and putting it on, so it got better.
The jiggers, they went under the skin, didn't they?
They don't get under, but they, Pinch they it? Get in, yeah, they get in the skin. They pinch so it puffs up a little bit. They were bad. Mm-hmm.
So this liniment, now, that has a peculiar odor, doesn't it?
Well, it's strong, something strong. I know we used to just hate that smell of that liniment.
Mm-hmm. Because they can smell up the whole house. Mm-hmm. You know somebody had an egg somewhere when you came into a house.
Yeah.
So you mentioned spiders and all. How about snakes? Were you particularly afraid of this? Now you were living out in the country. You were born with it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really have a fear for all those things that you saw out in nature there, snakes and...
Not a fear, but we knew that we should be careful. And one time I went into this funny barn I said my papa had built. And there was a big, they called him the one... They said it was one of those bull snakes, and it was a huge thing. But I saw it, and I avoided going where I wanted to go because I was afraid of it. We were scared of them. We ran away from them, you know. Otherwise, I don't think we had any particular trouble.
But they say, you know, the snakes, they keep the mice and the rats away.
Yeah, there was a saying. Mm-hmm.
So they didn't kill them then, the farmers, they want to have
I read that in books.
Well, you didn't hear it when you were growing up, that they protected
it. I didn't know that. And they even had a grass roof on that barn.
And you they can, were up there.
And you can imagine that was just a lovely place for them to live.
Mm-hmm. In the early Kansas sun in the spring, hot and warm.
Yeah.
So, in your area now around Mariadal and Oldsburg. Wolfsburg and Cleburne. In the early spring there is a purple flower you can see in the valleys. Was that your time too? The whole valley is purple in April.
Yeah, I
around
know.
Manhattan.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Was it that your time too when you were growing up?
I don't have memories of that. We had some big weeds growing, but I suppose there was purple flowers, but I don't remember too much about that. Uh-huh. We had a lot of trees down along that stream that went through the barn and then came up around. But there was many things that I don't remember, I guess.
How about a big chore now in the household was washing? Because you were a big family, every family was big, you had to wash. How often did they do that? In other words, they went down to the creek then or rinsing and...
We had what they called a cistern, and a huge, huge barrel was put out by the corner.
Yes. Of the house
where it ran down, and that would be one of our girls' jobs, to take a pail, and I think the older girls did it more than, and go and get a pail of water and throw it in the boiler on the stove in the kitchen. You know, she had a big boiler, and there we would heat our wash water.
I see.
That's where we got our water.
And everything that was white was boiled.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you throw any blue powder in it to make it more white, or?
I'm going to say I don't know.
Can't remember that.
Yeah, I don't
remember. Sack, you know, in the water.
I don't remember that. I think I read it and wanted to know about it.
And the soap was regular household soap?
The soap was made by the mama and the neighbors, a lot of it.
Well, she made her own soap?
Mm-hmm. They saved, when they butchered, they saved suet. Isn't that what they call it? And what else? A lie. Mm-hmm. And they would go together sometimes, the neighbors. Just like they went together to make cheese at Christmas time.
Oh, so you also had soap making and cheese making.
Yeah,
that was a
big,
like a party.
Yeah. I think they managed that soap making outside someplace in some big kettles or something so they didn't have to bring it in.
And they would last for a whole year then?
Well, if they ran out of soap, they would make more.
And all the day soap, you wash your hands and your face and your clothes and everything.
I wouldn't say for sure about that. I can remember back long when we had hand soap, you know. But one bar of soap, and everybody came in and washed their hands, men and women and all. And that one bar of soap was there. And I think we had bought hand soap pretty early.
Your face.
I think so.
Because the hand soap would probably burn your tender skin.
No, and with our baths, I think we had hand soap. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So there was a big day then when you had the wash day.
Yeah.
We all helped out then.
And I have lived in neighborhoods where the woman in Clay Center, Sweetsburg, where the woman would have to have her clothes on the line at 5 o'clock in the morning. So she'd be sure she had hers out first before any of the neighbors around could see.
Why?
That's a Swedish idea, way back. And she would get up and heat that water at maybe 3 o'clock and get it warm, and then do her washing and get it out on the land. Should be out by 5.
So nobody should have seen her then, in other words, when she hung the wash up?
Well, she didn't care. She wanted them to see them. I suppose that was her idea, wanting the people to see that she got her wash out early. That was an old Swedish custom.
And most of the people did that?
Well, no, I wouldn't say most of them did.
And that was around Swedesbury Clay Center?
That was in Swedesbury. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that place is gone now.
Uh-huh. So she was...
She was real ambitious.
Southerly breeze, could have your 10 o'clock coffee and the wash was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess maybe that's what they figured it. I wouldn't be surprised.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they had big washes at that time because they saved it up then for several weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know.
They couldn't wash every week.
I think I have always washed about once a week. With the children, you have to.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah. And then you wash every day sometimes, you know. Oh. But you don't make such a big deal.
But men's clothing office, work clothes, they couldn't be washed every day.
Oh, no, not the work clothes, no.
They went off to the barn and they was dirty.
Sure, yeah.
Almost immediately. Mm-hmm.
They'd have to. They were warm.
But there was a lot of hand scrubbing.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't do that.
You didn't have to do that either, so you were the lucky one.
Yeah.
Now, you were all helping out your mother or with your father out in the field, some of your older sisters.
We helped both.
Can you remember that you at any time refused to do something they told you? You didn't like it? You didn't feel like it?
Well, I think there were times maybe when I didn't want to, but I knew it was duty. It just came natural to me to know that I had. I know my mama would ask us to go and pick cherries on a big cherry tree and climb up in the cherry tree and sit and pick cherries, and that wasn't fun, but we did it.
Well, you didn't like that?
No.
You were scared to fall down then, or was it too much?
No, I guess, picking. I don't know what I wanted to do. Well, that was in the country, you know, there wasn't any people to watch, but it was a hard duty. And I suppose if I had to go and pick up apples under the tree and I didn't like that, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I never made a fuss over it, I guess. Well, we did sometimes, you know, kids are kids.
But you were corrected then by your parents.
I knew that I knew it was duty to do it and I had to do it.
Mm-hmm. And you knew very well you couldn't get away with it?
No, I didn't. I don't think we tried too hard. Mm.
But if you don't refuse to do something, what did you have in your mind instead of playing with your dolls or with your playmates or neighbors?
Maybe we had some things down in our playhouse, you know, to play with.
Well, you had a playhouse?
We had to leave that. And,
You had a playhouse?
Under a cottonwood tree.
You built yourself?
Well, I think we had a little box, you know, wooden boxes were given away in those days, and I think Papa had bought one in the store, brought one home, and we had a little box and had a little shelf on it, I remember, and we had some broken dishes in there, and that was for our dishes, and then we'd have a doll or two along. I think we had a little doll buggy, and that's the way we, and then maybe a swing by the tree there too, a rope swing.
Because some of your neighbors...
We had some neighbors, not very far, or not very, they were too far away to run between much, but we had them once in a while. Mm-hmm.
So you were playing house then in the household?
Down under those cottonwood
trees. Did you have a neighbor boy then coming over to play?
No, I think they were girls that came.
All girls?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So any special games do you remember that...
No. I guess I don't know. Drop the handkerchief. Of course, you had to have a group for that. And we played in the corn stalks. We did corn, you know, around the corn stalks where he'd pile the corn. We used to play around there, hide from each other, and find me, you know. Mm-hmm.
So, and how about toys now? They were homemade.
The what?
Homemade toys.
Yeah, most of them. It seems that we had a doll, and maybe it'd been handed down from other sisters, you know. Mm-hmm. And we had, Mama would make different clothes for it and clean it up for us.
Mm-hmm. So a doll
that
had an adult life also then from one generation to another. So how about your parents now? Did they participate in any of your games? Were they playful to be with you to...
No, I don't think so. I was the littlest, you see, but that time the others were bigger, so they could help. I don't remember.
So you were with your sisters?
Papa used to sit and read to us at night. He read Swedish in Uncle Tom's Cabin. I've got not his book, but I've got the book here.
So he read the other, and that was in English?
No, it was in Swedish.
In Swedish? Mm-hmm. Uncle Tom's Cabin? Mm-hmm.
I have it. I prized this book. I don't remember. I think one of the girls found it in the book sale up at the hospital or someplace. Yeah. But I read it.
And you remember that? You could. You enjoyed that?
Yeah. He'd sit by the table and we'd sit around. And,
mm-hmm. And you had a kerosene lamp then?
Kerosene lamp. And maybe Mama was sitting over here crocheting and another one was doing something else, you see.
So nobody was idle, not even in the evenings. In other words, they got to have something to do, either read or... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you read that in all the old Swedish books, how they sat around at one kerosene lamp and everybody had to be hem-stitching or doing something. That's bad history, or good history, I guess, if you call it that. Better than they do now.
So he read a couple of chapters then when he felt like it. Mm-hmm. Oh, could you read all of that book too for yourself, or did you just wait until he started?
I think my memories are before I could read, maybe. Further back.
Could you read when you went to school? Were you taught by your older sister?
Oh yeah, I'm sure I read pretty well because the girls had been to school a while and they helped me. Yeah, I think so.
And you find an interest when they came back then what they were doing?
Yeah.
You picked up the letters and...
Yeah, that's right.
Could you write your name?
Yeah, I think I could. Mm-hmm.
How about your parents? Could they assist you with the school work or did they stay out of it?
Yeah. Papa didn't. Papa hadn't much education himself, you know, but he'd learned, so he spoke well in English. Yeah. And I can't remember if Papa wrote. I'm sure he did, and I wish I had some of his handwriting, but Mama tried to take care of the business handwork, you know, which she could. And then later, the girls got in, the bigger girls helped her. My second sister especially, she got the liking books real well. The older one was more for handwork or housework and stuff.
And the next one was interested for reading.
She liked reading, and she's the one that went teaching school after eighth grade.
And the third one, she was more for the housework.
Yeah, she wasn't too fond of school, but she got along.
And the fourth one, you were interested in schoolwork.
I liked schoolwork. I always did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So poor dad, he didn't have any boys to take over his work outside. But you all helped out and...
We all helped each other. I think I'll put it that way. We were all together in the whole deal.
So the milking chores now with the cows, your older sisters had to take care of that. He didn't milk any cows, your dad.
Milk any cows?
Yeah, your dad. Or did?
He milked before the older sister got so she could, yeah. Yeah, he milked.
Mm-hmm. And they have to help out with the separator and the churning of the butter?
We didn't have separator at first. No. I'm not sure we had separator on the farm.
So you skimmed off
the cream? We had it and we kept the milk down in that bunks with the cold water and so skimmed off that.
And made butter?
And made butter, yeah.
Did you sell that butter in the...
We did what we had. If we had too much, yeah. They'd take it to Cleburne and traded in for money on our due bills.
So at that time there was no dairy in Oldsburg, close by?
And not Oldsburg or Cleburne either. They went to Cleburne quite a bit to do their trading. More than Oldsburg. It had a couple more stores in Oldsburg. But I used to go with them to Oldsburg once in a while.
And the eggs went the same way?
Eggs, they had egg crates, you know, to pack them in.
Yeah. And what you bought in the store then was coffee, I suppose, was one of the...
Coffee and sugar and flour. They did all their baking. Yeah.
Well, they couldn't get the flour from the farm, in other words, grinding your own...
No, there were some that did, but we never did. We just bought it in the store. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then all the baking was done at home. And
yeah, it's different now.
In the oven.
And the cobs were picked by somebody and put in the stove to make the oven warm.
Uh-huh. What kind of bread was baked? The big round cakes or loaves?
Mama usually just baked loaves, I think. Yes. I am sure she did both, you know. I remember she had a pan, a black pan, it was that big square, and I suppose she baked cookies in there, and she maybe sometimes made it with bread. Or with.
And they were less for a week then?
Yeah, well, I imagine so. Mm-hmm.
So you always had the fresh bread?
Yeah.
And then you mentioned about butchering. Now, you had the pigs, and you butchered in the fall.
Yeah. And my mother's brothers, one of them, they lived about 4 or 5 miles from our farm. So they used to come over always when they were going to have a slaughtering day. They came over. And let's see, Mama, didn't they heat the water? Yeah. She was heating the water in the stove, and Papa was getting whatever else they needed. And so those men came and butchered. And I can remember when they had the hog hanging up in the little barn. It was a little lean-to where they used to put his buggy. And then they cut it up and
used the whole pig then?
Canned some of it. And they didn't freeze it, of course. But they canned it, they salted it.
Salted it down?
A little, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what did you keep there then, on the upper floor or?
We had a cave Papa had fixed that they had. I suppose he did it.
Well, like a cellar?
Like a cellar. Mm-hmm. And we had to go down and get around to that, and there we kept that. We had kept our canned fruit, and even kept our apples down there. Mm-hmm.
And they will last then until March, April?
Oh, I suppose so. Then they could start in with chickens and stuff like that. And buy bologna, that they didn't buy much of that, you know. It was expensive, I suppose, but we always had. Mother used to make dried beef herself, excellent dried beef, and smoked.
So she was able then to take care of the whole thing?
She did that, yeah. They had a big box fixed where they made the fire under, and she smoked in it, yeah.
How about sausage? Did they?
Yeah, she made sausage.
Sausage too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always. The neighbors went together, I think, sometimes and made potato sausage at Christmas time.
Do you remember if they saved the blood to make potato sausage?
Yeah,
I mean,
they did.
Sausage?
Mm-hmm. That's something I never used, but they did.
But they did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was there a certain part on the pig you didn't like to eat?
Well, that was the thing I didn't like and didn't eat. That.
How about the rest of your sisters? Did they didn't like the blood meat either?
I wouldn't know. I don't think I remember, but I remember it was very dislikable to me, so I just left it alone.
Was there somebody had told you that, or did you figure it out for yourself? You just
it just
like
went it? Against me, I think. It might have been some other kids, you know, my age, we talked. I don't know that either.
Was there any other food that you disliked or you didn't care too much about?
Thinking that taking that blood from that pig, it was dislikable.
So you watched sometimes then when they...
No, I don't think I was ever out there when they really did it. They had a certain place they did it, and I think we stayed away while they were going around.
But your older sisters, they had to help Otto to...
Well, I suppose they did as they got older.
For eating. How about Christmas? Did you have any big gatherings then of relation coming over to the house
yeah,
and stayed?
I remember one or two Christmases we went to Grandpa Nelson's house. And that was a big deal to get Papa get his chores done, get all the kids in the spring wagon and drive another 8 miles, you know. But they had it all ready and they had just gorgeous Christmas dinners down there, the whole deal. And they had a big candelabra in the ceiling. And you know how scared people are of lights now. And this was just hanging down. It was trimmed with tissue paper and candles all around. But it went. And then they had a big tree from they'd been out in the hills and got a big Christmas tree in the living room. Yeah, it was a nice time.
How was that tree decorated? With what was it decorated?
With candles, regular
candles.
All candles, all real candles. They probably.
And they were burning?
They were burning. At
Christmas Eve then? Or?
Yeah, when we were in there. We went in the living room for that. And
what else did they have in there? Did they have any flags or ornaments of
They had
things?
They had some ornaments. Some nice pieces, they say this came from Sweden and a little like that. Yeah.
Well, they had that?
Yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Things they brought with them, you think, or they sent for it?
Well,
or?
I imagine some of the relation maybe had sent, trimmed with that little silvery paper stuff, you know. Yeah. And I remember one time my uncle went out, and we kids were supposed to go in then into the living room, and my uncle came in with a basket, clothes basket, you know how they were. And he had his gifts in there. That was from his family too. There were names on them, you know. Yeah. And everybody is supposed to have some little gift, you know, and we have always found something.
Mm-hmm. So, and that tree was decorated by, this was in your grandparents?
Yeah, that was in the grandparents.
Had they decorated themselves?
No, the one that I remember, the oldest son was married and lived there with the grandparents, and they'd had their first baby. So it was him and her that had decorated the tree, the wife and her.
So when you came there then for the party?
Well, we had everything. We had potato sausage, we had ouzkaka, and we had, I think they had liver even. They had just everything.
You and brought things with you also?
We brought some things, and they fixed the rest. They just had everything.
And then there was a lot of talking?
A lot of talking.
In Swedish, I suppose?
Yeah, I'm sure it was in Swedish.
Because your grandparents, they probably...
They didn't go to English. Swedish. Yeah. Yeah, they would, yeah. I don't know how old I could have been then, the last time I remember, maybe six or something like that. Because I know he was real proud of this baby he had, the father, and he had it laying in one of those old rocking chairs that fixed a little bed in there. And that was the first thing he wanted us to look at, was that baby. The baby died, she didn't live, but she lived about 12 years and she's gone.
So there were some sickness that could...
Yeah, yeah. But now going back to our home, when we didn't go to Grandpa's house, Pop, we always had a...